Holy Gospel according to John, the 14th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to the disciples, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may also be. And you know the way to the place where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly, I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise
to you, O Christ. Grace and peace to you from the one God who creates, redeems, and sustains us this morning and always. Amen. I want to talk with you today about words. Words. I love words. I don't know if you know this, but I was an English major. A student of literature, a lover of language. I love words. Words are powerful. Words are beautiful. Words are cantankerous and hard to get a hold of. Words are challenging and sometimes messy. I love words. Words are what makes us human. Our use of language, the strange marriage of thoughts, symbols, and sounds. Words are what separates us from the rest of creation. Animals communicate with one another, but not with words, not with language. Our ability to inquire, to interpret, to infer, to imagine is directly related to our ability to use words. In the days leading up to his arrest, Jesus uses words to equip his disciples with the tools they will need to survive and thrive in the days, months, and years ahead. Jesus gives them these words, these farewell discourses, as they're described, these last chapters of the Gospel of John. He gives them these words so that they might understand what is happening, what is going to happen, and what will continue to happen, and what all of that means. Jesus, in this passage, brings words to the disciples. The disciples who have only recently begun to understand what is about to happen as Jesus heads towards his arrest, crucifixion, death, resurrection, and ascension. As those in their midst have betrayed, those in their midst have been told they will deny. The disciples in this time of tumultuous upheaval find from Jesus words that bring comfort. Do not let your hearts be troubled, Jesus begins. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. We know these words, don't we? We hear them oftentimes at periods of grief, read aloud at a funeral service or at the graveside. I even recall that my Grandpa Rusty, in the days, hours before his passing, spoke of visions of this magnificent place full of rooms, dwelling places. His Father's house. It brings us great comfort to know that God is there to receive us, that Jesus is bringing us home. Jesus also brings to the disciples in this time of great difficulty and confusion words of promise. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. These messages of great promise, of closer and closer relationship with God. And in this time of great confusion and unrest, of dis-ease, Jesus comes to the disciples with words of purpose. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe because of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do. And in fact will do greater works than these because I am going to the Father. Jesus shows them not only that Jesus is the way, but shows them the path as well that they must trod, the works they have yet to do. Words are powerful things. Words are what we use to define, describe, and declare those things which we know to be true. But words can be slippery things. Words, Jesus' use of them, are what caused the disciples to stumble even. Thomas, taking Jesus literally, misunderstands Jesus' message regarding his arrest and crucifixion, death, resurrection, and ascension. Philip misunderstands Jesus' correction to Thomas' confusion, and it seems misses the point altogether. The Gospel of John is full of moments like these. I call them the dumb disciples. Jesus says something, the disciples go, got it. And Jesus says, no, that's not it. Try again. In each of these cases, Jesus seeks to offer a correction. Jesus uses his words to guide his disciples towards a truth that is a little too difficult for them to understand. A truth that transcends the cultures and contexts in which each of them first learned to use language or words. A truth that challenges what they thought they knew about their God, their world, and their very selves. Jesus brings these words of peace into a time of disorientation and unrest, rather than bringing words of triumphalism and militant victory. Jesus brings words of hope into times of great despondency and despair, rather than words of submission and defeat. Jesus brings words of call into times of confusion and aimlessness, rather than words of retreat and isolationism. Jesus brings unexpected words to the disciples. Jesus brings unexpected words to us. And words are powerful. Words are complicated and messy. Words are open to interpretation or misinterpretation. We see the disciples play this out in real time in our text this morning and throughout the Gospel of John. And we are no different. These words that we read together today have often been misunderstood, misinterpreted, and misused. These words, with their description of the relationship God seeks to have with us, have been used throughout history and still today to seek to limit that relationship. Rather than point us away from ourselves and towards one another, towards our neighbors, these words have often been misunderstood, misinterpreted, and misused in order that we might see ourselves as being more set apart, more special, more deserving, more blessed, more important, more than anybody else. Rather than pointing to the path or road or way, as the word can be translated, that is Jesus, the path, road, or way of love and of service to one another, which Jesus teaches us, we have seen this as the path, road, or way that is only available to us and no one else. And historically, this message of exclusivity has done incredible and unthinkable damage. There's a quote from Walter Benjamin, a German Jewish philosopher, essayist, and cultural critic, who died in 1940 at his own hands rather than suffer in the death camps of Nazi Germany. Walter Benjamin writes, "There is no document of civilization which is not at the same time a document of barbarism." The singer-songwriter, activist, entrepreneur, and feminist icon Ani DiFranco puts it more succinctly when she says, "Every tool is a weapon if you hold it right." These words of comfort, of peace, these words designed to give us promise and bring us hope, These words that provide a purpose or a call to us as followers of Christ the way can quickly become words of self-assurance. Words that say, oh, I knew I was right. Words of exclusivity. This is mine, promised to me and those who agree and think like me. Words of call and purpose become those words of self-righteousness, of I am blessed and chosen. We live in a world where words are used more often than not to draw dividing lines, to separate rather than bring together. Our politics are rife with it, especially right now. And our church sometimes dabbles in it too. A little over a year, around a year ago, I remember reading news stories, perhaps you read them too, about a Catholic priest in Arizona who for many years, while baptizing many, many people, used the words, we baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. But because he said, we baptize you, instead of I baptize you, those baptisms were declared null and void by the Catholic Church and sent many, many people into great existential crises seeking to be re-baptized. One of the questions that Lutherans have to answer to a lot is why we do infant baptism rather than adult baptism. Why do we baptize those who cannot choose versus those who do and can choose? And the reason that we do them, among others, is because the active presence in baptism is not me, is not the baby, or the person doing the baptizing. The active presence in baptism is God. God comes to us in the waters of baptism. So, as you can imagine, I, like many others, reacted in quite shock and horror that the church would choose to use their words so pointedly and specifically and inflict harm as a result, especially when the words that we use matter only so much compared to the action of God in our lives. Jesus brings these words to his disciples and to us, these words that are life-changing, these words that bring blessing, blessing of God's abundant mercy, Christ's self-giving love, and the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. These words bring a message of unity, drawing us all together into one body of discipleship, one blessed and beloved community centered on the love of God and the love of our neighbor. These words bring a message to the disciples and to us of responsibility to be bearers of that good news, to live lives of praise and thanksgiving, to give all for the sake of the needy, to cry out for the sake of the oppressed, and to bring peace and reconciliation into a violent and broken world. You see, words are powerful. But if we hold these words so tightly to ourselves, if we pretend to be the sole receivers, interpreters, and wielders of these words, we do so at our own peril. When we use these or any words to seek to limit, restrain, constrain, or harm others, when we use these words or any words to hold ourselves apart from or above others, when we use these words or any words to keep the love of God for ourselves, we deny the source of these words, the Word made flesh, We deny the incarnation of our God in Christ Jesus. We deny that God took on human form to walk alongside us, to accompany us in our suffering, to suffer and die for our sake. We deny that God comes to us offering words of comfort, promise, and purpose, words of peace, unity, and calling. We prioritize our own primacy and purposes over our calling to see to the needs of others. We sing empty praises of thanksgiving for all that God has done for us while doing everything we can to keep it for ourselves. As we enter this season of being church together, where we seek to revisit, reinterpret, redefine who Christ the King Lutheran Church is, both to the community within these walls and to the community just outside of these walls, let us be very intentional with the language that we use. Let us be careful with our words. Let us be mindful of how we speak to one another. Let us remember that it is the Word, with a capital W, who creates us from nothing. The Word who saves us from our own brokenness. The Word who points us toward one another, gives us the gift of the Holy Spirit, and the Word who gives us the only word that we need, love. Last Sunday, I asked all of you to get up during the sharing of the peace and to express your love for one another. It was a little funny. It was a little awkward. It was also a little freeing and a little exciting. Let us not be too particular about how we use that word. Let us use it with the full force of our lungs, the full breadth of our heart, and the full meaning that it has, the meaning that it imparts in our lives. Let us live out that love and express it in the way it was first expressed to us. Amen.
My Father longs for you, so I come to Received the living God, and my